Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW, Shir number 115. It's by Spinini for Women, Shir number 115. We will put a pause on the Shalva Ba'amin Esayach Sefer. We will get back to that, Be'ez Hashem. We may alternate. But I want to go through as well an extremely important book called The Truth About Love by Pat Love. We gave the Shiurim to the men's side of it. This is written by a woman, and it relates to both husbands and wives, but it has a perspective of a woman's perspective as a professional marriage counselor. And there's something unique about her perspective, because she is a woman that was divorced and remarried and acknowledges, as we're going to speak now, acknowledges that it was her own lack of information, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding that caused her first divorce to take place. And, you know, later she remarried. She starts out her introduction of her book about how thrilled she is in her marriage when he does his normal routine and puts a smile on her face, the way he gets ready for work and so on and so forth. And she's filled with gratitude and appreciation to really feel a real, real love. And in her first marriage, she looks back at a despair that she felt. It ended. She had two children with her first husband. And it was a constant familiar conversation, as an example. He would ask, "Are you coming to bed?" And she would reply, "A little later," which the translation of that really was, "Do you want to be intimate together?" And the answer is no. And she felt hopeless. And this invitation refusal scene happened all the time. And it was really painful. A certain numbness, a certain hopelessness. And she gave up hope, collapsed into despair, and very lonely, being next to somebody that you lost that connection with. And that was a turning point in her marriage that she felt down and desperate about. And she still has a hard time accepting how that relationship ended. Because if looking at the early part of that marriage, they looked like a perfect couple. They went along long hours walking and talking, getting to know each other, and tremendous energy between each other, excitement. There was a strong sexual desire, and the intimate life was great, and their other experiences that they had together, whatever it was, traveling, visiting relatives, entertaining, making friends, and having their first child, and so on and so forth. And she noticed that after her first birth of her first child, her sexual desires dropped out of sight. She said, honestly, she didn't miss it. She was busy being a full-time mother, plus trying to manage all the responsibilities that she had prior. And she didn't have time to think about the sexual part of things. And it wasn't a problem for her. She was okay with it. But it was not okay for her husband. Rightfully so, she says. At the time, she blamed him. How could you be inconsiderate enough to desire me when the feeling isn't mutual? I'm not interested. What right have you to be interested? And they got into a pattern of her withholding. She withheld sex. And in turn, with her withholding sex, he withheld intimacy. He stopped. The way she puts it, I quit sharing my body, and he quit sharing his feelings. And we both managed our fears and loneliness by repressing our needs and staying very busy. And over the course of the time, I began to believe that we were trapped in an unbearably incompatible marriage. that doomed one of us, at least, to the everlasting sexual frustration. That was my husband. And the other to rejection and withdrawal. That's me. And this is what she says. And this is really her turning point and how she ultimately wrote this book. Listen carefully. She writes as follows. These convictions led to an action that remained the deepest regret of my life. An unnecessary divorce from a thoroughly decent, loving man and the father of my two children. These convictions led to an action that remained the deepest regret of my life, the unnecessary divorce from a thoroughly decent, loving man and the father of my two children. And then she says this line, very powerful. And many of you listening, please listen. We believed we had fallen out of love. Now I know that we simply entered a different stage of love. I think a lot of you listening, this should resonate, and if it doesn't, it will, or it should. We believe we had fallen out of love, and now I know we simply entered a different stage of love. And what happened was, is she, the author of this book, felt emotionally frozen over the sorrow and remorse around her divorce. And she really wanted to understand what happened and prevent it from happening again to herself or to others. She enrolled in a doctorate program, began studying marriage and family therapy. And then she continued to focus her attention on love relationships, working with couples through workshops, couples therapy, lectures. And she became an outstanding example of what you teach what you need to know. And over the last 20 years, she gathered in her studies a wealth of information from her research, from her colleagues, from her clients, from her own life experiences that she's sharing in this book. And what it is here, important to know, and it's so sad, about how marriages went downhill in society. Outside culture, and unfortunately seeped into our culture. You know, a few decades ago, the model of marriage was simple. You were able to live on one wage. The man usually worked. The woman was a homemaker, established a home, have children, try to get ahead economically. And things changed dramatically in the 1960s and the open marriages in the 1970s and the acceptance of just living together without marriage in the 1980s and then a divorce rate of 50% in our country in the 1990s, and now it's above that, unfortunately. And we expect always, you know, in a marriage, our ideal is to expect a friendship, support, fun, intimacy, good sex, personal growth, life fulfillment. And a wife, as an example, is expected to be a cook and a housekeeper and a dry cleaner and a masseuse and a therapist and a best friend and a sex surrogate and a nurse and a mind reader and a coach and a mechanic and a carpenter and a lawn specialist and an entertainer and a social secretary and a chauffeur and an accountant and an automatic teller and a loan officer and so on and so forth. All these functions that were thrown upon us in the women's side for the women and the men also overextending themselves. And if we don't value what marriage is and people think that it's not good and they leave it and they try to find another relationship, usually doesn't work well. And marriage itself, people make fun of it a lot, unfortunately. But the truth is they did research on it. Married men and women live longer, drink less alcohol, use fewer drugs, have more money. A good marriage can protect people from illnesses, from diseases. Of course, you need siyata d'shmaya, but Hashem puts this in the teva. A divorced man is twice as likely to die in any given year from heart disease and stroke and hypertension in Canada. And death for the divorced is four times more likely than automobile accidents and suicides. 7 times higher than by cirrhosis of the liver and pneumonia, 8 times more than murder, and so on and so forth. There is actually psychological and emotional and physical benefits for having a normal marriage. Not even a great marriage, but even just a normal marriage. The problem, the author said about herself, that the mistake that she made, the error that she made, which that she confused a normal stage of love and assumed it was the end of love. When my sexual desire for my husband changed and started to wane, I started to believe I was falling out of love. I now know that the change in my libido was normal. Most women will feel very little sexual desire right after the birth of a baby. This is nature's way of focusing your attention on caring for your infant instead of conceiving another child. But I believe now that sexual attraction and love, I thought I believed, meaning this was her error. She thought that sexual attraction and love were synonymous, which was not true. But because I believed that, I thought there was something very seriously wrong about the relationship. And she began to look for other problems, and of course she found them. She found those other problems. So this is a very, very important insight. These ups and downs in sexual interest, in desire, in emotional warmth happens. It's part of life. Doesn't mean you don't love each other. It's a different stage of love. There are many unrealistic expectations that people have. People make a mistake and they think that in order to have a stable, happy marriage, they should never argue. That's not true. They could have a loving marriage and still disagree and argue. People believe that in order to have a healthy marriage, they're not dependent on each other at all. Also not true. It's not healthy to be codependent or overly dependent, but there is a interdependency where, yes, you're individuals, but you are filling one the other. You are like one. People make an error. They think they should be both one sex equally. That's not realistic, and this needs to be worked through. Or never get angry is not true. There is anger sometimes there, and it has to be worked through. The mistake a lot of people make immaturely is to believe that they would get all their needs met in marriage. That's also not true. Or that they share responsibilities equally. Also not true. Or they will always agree, or they'll always think alike, or they'll never get bored. Or they always know what the other person wants, or all their problems will be resolved. All of this is unrealistic aspects of marriage that people really believe in their minds. None of these statements are true. The one very important one, I want you all to listen, is that people make a mistake and they think that a married couple never feels lonely in their marriage. And I want to tell you all, there is a loneliness that is always there. Some people feel it more than others. You could have the happiest, most secure marriage in the world, one married to a wonderful person, having a beautiful life. Don't assume because you feel a loneliness that there's something wrong, or you marry the wrong person, or there's something really wrong in a marriage. This lonely feeling is very, very common. We are really all alone in a certain sense. No one can be in our shoes completely. Only Hashem is with us all the time, from the moment we are born, even before that, to the point we leave this world. So this feeling of loneliness, yes, there are times where you feel not nourished from the marriage, but then there's work to do on that. But the despair, no. And when things are going well and all of a sudden you'll feel this real sharp feeling of deep, deep loneliness. These are normal feelings. Don't make assumptions that there's something really wrong with your relationship with the person because you feel lonely. And don't make mistakes because of those lonelinesses that you feel. Don't act upon it in a negative way. Or don't withdraw into a shell because of it either. Very important point. So we will talk more regarding this particular book that has tremendous yesidus that, again, we did speak about in the men's share. We just didn't have a chance to bring out all these points in this book yet in the women's shiurim. So we will do this and also continue some of the concepts in the Shavam and Menasayach Sefer as well. Bracha v'atzlacha.